Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom.
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Trait.
Happy Tuesday, mamas. Welcome to the pod. We love these 30-minute hangs with you, and we cannot thank you enough for being here and for coming back. We are obsessed with you guys, and we're sending you a big mama hug, big mama love, wherever you're listening. But let's just dive right into it. Katie, hit us with your cliff notes.
Okay. So first of all, I'm just going to say this preemptively before I get into my good story. My eyelashes are falling out.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a pregnancy symptom that you are also experiencing, or is that just me?
Yes. I will tell you, first pregnancy, I've said this before, so sexy. My hair was full. Everything was tiny. My skin was glowing. You know, it fit all of those stereotypes of like, you're having a boy because you still look cute. Mm. This pregnancy is very much like the girl I'm having in my body is stealing my beauty. And yes, I'm not losing eyelashes, but they're short. They're like crazy stumpy.
Yeah. Mine are so stumpy. I mean, you can see right now. Can you even see them? I don't even know if they're visible. They're so short.
Same.
But this is what's happening. They do say that girls steal your beauty. Mm-hmm. I remember an old coworker of mine told me that, and we're on our second girl, so maybe that's what's going on. But yeah, the eyelashes are vanishing before my eyes. Okay, but my good story is I experienced the poop blowout from hell.
Oh.
Kaya is a small child. We don't have a lot of blowouts, especially at night. Like, she's never really peed through a diaper. We are very blessed, very lucky. All that to say, I was feeding her breakfast earlier this week. And when she poops, you know she's pooping because there's like a grunting. She kind of stops eating, mm-hmm. and it's just like, and afterwards she just smiles. Like, she's so pleased with herself.
She's relieved.
I did the little, you know, smell test to make sure that to confirm my suspicions. And I was like, oof. And when you're pregnant, obviously you smell, like your sense of smell is just heightened. And I took the whiff. It smelled so bad. I was like, okay, we have to go change you and then we'll finish feeding you. So I go to change her and I don't even know how this happened, but I start taking off her clothes and the poop has gone down one side of her leg. It has gone up her stomach. It is in her belly button.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing everything in me. Like, she's so mobile. She wants to like just touch everything with her hands. I'm like trying to hold her hands down. And like, I probably went through, I want to say like 30 wipes.
Yeah.
And then I still felt as if I didn't do a good enough job that I was like, this immediately requires a bath.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, pregnant, nauseous, and the bending over and up and over and up while bathing my child is just really challenging. So we usually wait until Jason's home from work to give her her baths. And usually they're at nighttime anyways before bed. But this required a mid-morning bath scrub-a-dub in the tub moment. And I bathed her. I dealt with it and dried her off, patted her down, diapered her back up, and we went on our merry way. But it was a big poop.
That's a parenting. Person. Yeah, it's a parenting hazing ritual. One must experience at least one massive blowout. And we have this running joke in our house, like we count the number of wipes to determine how bad a shit it was. Mm. So it'll be like, oh, that was a 9 wiper, or that was a 12 wiper.
Right. Or like a 3 wiper where it's, you know, mostly solid.
Right.
Not big of a deal.
But yeah. you're in that stage where you're transitioning her from milk to solids. And so her stomach's doing all kinds of new things. And so get ready for more of those.
Yeah. It is a treat. We never quite know what poop we're going to get, because some of them are like human feces. They're rock hard. And some are just, you know, sloppy, disgusting. Ugh. I can't believe I'm telling you guys this story. I hope that one day when Kaya is like 14, she doesn't die of embarrassment of this story. But
we all did it.
We all did it. Everybody
poops. Shit up your back. You're mistaken.
Everybody poops. I did. It's so funny because the onesie that she was in, like she was still in her PJs. We don't really change her out of her PJs until after she's eaten her breakfast. And it immediately went into the trash, and it was one of my favorite ones. Hmm. I immediately texted Jason. I was like, we're down a onesie. I couldn't even, the thought of even like washing it off in the sink or like putting it in the washing machine, they both just like disgusted me. I couldn't. So into the garbage it went.
Yeah. A casualty. But you know what? It is rough that you're going through that for the first time when you're pregnant, because the sniffer really is sensitive when you're pregnant, and you know, big old poopy diaper is pretty mean.
Yeah. It wasn't ideal, but you know, we moved on and today's a new day and we haven't had that bad of a blowout since then.
Oh, good.
So just one for
the winning.
Yeah. We're winning. What do you have?
Well, as you know, I recently moved. So that requires changing doctors. Mm. When I moved here, it was immediately after we did IVF. We had to wait before we moved. We had to hear the heartbeat of our embryo, make sure everything was good. And we moved immediately after. So I had to scramble to find a doctor. And I found one at a very reputable hospital here in Chicago. And I just haven't. So smart. Like this doctor, so smart, brilliant, but like immediately didn't hit the vibe check. Like the vibes were off. And to me, it's like, I just feel like this is the most intimate experience you have as a woman, aside from sex. It's like delivering your baby. And yes, I want my doctor to be smart and qualified, but I think there's a bedside manner. There's like a chemistry that was just really missing. Saw a few other doctors in the practice, same. One of them I disliked so much. I literally said to my husband, if she were on call the day I went into labor, I would hold this child in and wait until the next day to deliver, because I just disliked her so much. She shamed me. It was a whole thing. So anyway,
wait. Why did she shame you?
Once, because I brought Dylan with me to the appointment.
Oh my gosh.
I had no childcare. I'm sure I'm not the first one.
No.
Dylan was a perfect angel. She sat in her stroller. She watched a Little Miss Rachel, made zero noise, was wonderful. This woman didn't make eye contact with her appointment, but shamed me for bringing my child to this appointment. The next time I saw her was when I was having my bleeding butt issue. Mm. And she wanted to put me on a steroid. And I just asked, like, is this fully safe for a pregnant person? Are there any potential side effects? Which feels like a fair question to ask.
Beyond.
She paused, looked at me like I killed her mother, and said, why do you think I would prescribe it if it wasn't safe? And I was like, well, yeah, because let's look at history. Doctors prescribed Oxycontin, and now we know that people have addiction. That's an extreme example, but like, it's okay to question your doctor. I was like, I think I need to just explore new doctors. So I found one. It is this woman who married my friend's little brother, and I love her. I met her St. Patty's Day at the bar. She works out of the same hospital, a private practice, but delivers out of this really reputable hospital. She's so smart. She went to Notre Dame, and then she went to Georgetown for med school. So she's brilliant, but she also is like warm and fuzzy and just wonderful. So I was like, yes, I would love to have her on the day I'm delivering my child. But there's this funny thing, and I don't know if you have this. I had my first appointment with her today. I felt like I had to go get, we talked about this, my vagina waxed.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I cannot show up to this person that like I'm going to see in social settings. I feel like I need to get a pedicure and I need to get a full Brazilian. So yeah,
that's why maybe you shouldn't mix social with medical.
Yeah, it's like church and state where
yeah,
we're intermingling. But all that to say, I did get a wax. And if you will recall, we were curious if it would hurt more in pregnancy. I can confirm it was the most painful Brazilian wax I've ever had in my entire life. Also, can we talk about being pregnant and being on all fours with this 20-something-year-old girl who could not have been sweeter, but I was talking about how magical my labor and delivery was and how I was hoping it was the same. And I'm like fully naked and my butthole is just in the air. And it was...
Do you ever wonder if the people waxing and does she not have kids yet?
No, doesn't, okay. But wants them in the future. We had a whole conversation.
Like, I always wonder if they leave their work day and go tell these stories like, oh, I had this pregnant woman and she was on all fours.
100%. Do you know what I recently stumbled upon in my TikTok algorithm was professional Brazilian waxers who talk about the people who don't wipe their butt well enough.
Oh my gosh. Embarrassment 101.
And how they approach that conversation, like the appropriate way to approach that conversation with your client. I've never been so clean in my nether regions than before that appointment, but I was like wiping, washing, wet wiping, Dylan's diaper wipes. Like I was like, I will never be the person with a poopy butt showing up for a Brazilian wax. That will never, ever, ever be me. But to answer your question, yes, they do talk about
nausea. Is like, it's just so much. Oh, wow.
So anyway, okay. I got a full pedicure and Brazilian wax for my new doctor. And you know,
here we are. Congratulations. Here we are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
We found a doctor. That's very exciting. I'm
pumped.
We left our first doctor and met another one. Liked him, but just not enough. And I really wanted a female doctor this time around. And then when we found her, it was the same thing you experienced where you just kind of click. And even my husband and I both were like, yeah, she's way better than any of them. Right. And we were like, yes, it's a good vibe. Doesn't shame, makes me feel comfortable. I'm good with her doing all the things down there. I think that was one of the most shocking things is just how many times you are prodded down there when you're pregnant. It's wild.
It is.
Oh, the cervix checks. Don't get me started.
Yeah, those are special. They did the whole sweep with you, didn't they? To try and get you to induce labor.
Oh, I'm still traumatized.
Yeah, it all comes screaming back.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, speaking of traumatizing.
Yeah.
Should we get into the tea?
We shall. Let's do it.
Okay. Hillary Duff's husband, Matthew Comeau, revealed he had a vasectomy. Last week, he shared several pics and clips of his surgery journey on Instagram, starting with a selfie in the car with the caption, "It's vasectomy day," with a bunch of exclamation points, which I loved. He and Hillary Duff are expecting their third daughter together. They announced it in their Christmas card back in December. She also shares a son with her ex, Mike Comrie. Hillary Duff was his, quote, hot nurse, which I loved. And this got me thinking, it's something that Jason and I have talked a lot about. I'm sure he's going to be annoyed that I am talking about this so publicly, but have you and Andrew had the vasectomy talk yet? Or do you, you know, maybe want more children?
Oh, we've had the vasectomy talk.
Okay.
So if you aren't familiar with our story, we had our first daughter naturally, our second, I'm pregnant now via IVF. We had two losses. So we haven't wanted to close up shop until we felt like our family was complete. But I've taken birth control since I was 16 years old. And it made me crazy. I didn't realize how it was having such a deep impact on my mental health and my hormones until I went off of birth control. I vow to never take it again. I will not be putting hormones in my body if I can avoid it. And I toyed with the idea of doing the, what's the?
IUD.
IUD. But again, I'm like, why? If there's an option for a man, I would love to explore that option. Andrew's all about it. I think our plan is to welcome this baby in June, take a beat, make sure this baby's healthy, happy, that we feel complete in our hearts, mm-hmm. that our family is done, and then snip, snip, motherfucker. That is, we are done. Because yeah. I'm going to be 40 in September, and I personally do not want to be pregnant again. I think this is it for me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to carry these babies. But yes, Andrew's all about it. He's talked to all his friends who have done it. Yes. Good night.
Good night.
Baby making days. How about you guys? What's your thought?
So we have talked about it. Jason will also be getting a vasectomy. We have talked about it a lot. Some of his friends have also gotten them. And we're in the same boat, sort of as you, only opposite. So we did IVF for our first baby. And then this one was very much a happy surprise. And I just, this pregnancy has been really rough on me. My family feels complete already, knowing that we're going to have two healthy baby girls. And yeah, we're going to, I actually, when I saw Matthew Comeau's Instagram post, I was like, maybe he should do it while I'm still pregnant so that he's not out of commission when we have two babies running around. I thought that was actually pretty genius. But yeah, he will be getting snipped. I am closed for business. I've made very clear I am not going to be pregnant again. I don't enjoy hard pregnancies. I know some people love being pregnant. I'm just not one of those people. Love my babies, love being a mom. Strongly, strongly dislike being pregnant.
Well, I'm with you. Andrew and I were talking about it. I was that annoying ass woman who loved being pregnant. The first time I was pregnant with Dylan, I loved it. Like I felt so, I've said this a million times, feminine, energetic. I felt like so close to God and just like my womanhood. I loved the entire thing. And I thought that's how this experience was going to be. I got my karma back tenfold. It was like, let's chill on that cocky pregnant lady behavior because now I just feel disgusting. I'm like, all the things that women experience that are just like gross and make you feel like that's how I feel now.
Yeah.
I just think one thing that's really interesting, and listen, I'm not a doctor, but one of our former coworkers.
Oh no, got pregnant after.
He had
such a fear.
A son 7 years after his vasectomy because he didn't do his follow-up appointments. The stupid male body can heal itself and they can make sperm again.
Oh my gosh.
Also, I have so many questions that we can discuss later, but here are a few of them.
We should have a doctor on, by the way,
should.
To talk about vasectomies.
Because, like, does juice still come out of there? What is that substance? Is it sperm? Is it sperm that just doesn't swim? Are we still making it? Like, I just have so many questions that are, like, beyond my understanding.
Same.
But if you are someone who has had a vasectomy, this is your PSA. Go to those follow-up appointments to make sure that shit is still locked up, because you could have an oopsie baby 7 years later.
Which, all babies are miracles. Yes. I just personally am choosing to be closed.
Yeah.
This year. I don't know how my parents had three children.
No, I know.
Because imagine being pregnant with two little ones running around. It's already hard enough with one. I just think at that point, and then you're outnumbered. Listen, I love people who have three, four, have all the babies you want. For me, it's a two and done.
Yes. If you have more than two children, you are my hero.
Same.
Honestly, I look at you in a new light. You are on a pedestal in my mind because I personally could not do it. I just couldn't do it. And also, with our, like, from the beginning of our family making journey to today, like, our first miscarriage was in 2020. Andrew pointed it out the other day. Our experience, and he was more so saying my experience in this, has been a 4-year long journey, which I know there are women who go much longer in the baby making, family making process. And my heart goes out to them, because these 4 years just felt like a lot. Like, my body's been through a lot, and I'm ready to feel like my body is mine again.
I could not agree more. Absolutely. Yeah. Cosign. They say that it takes 2 years for your body to go back to normal after having a child. So yeah, I'm very excited to be done in a few months.
Yes.
Yep.
These babies.
5 months.
You got this, girl. The countdown's on.
Yeah. What do you have?
Well, here's something I feel like you and I can relate to a little bit. Lily Allen, amazing pop star. She is doing the Lord's work and she's keeping it real about parenthood. And I really respect it. She recently went on the Radio Times podcast and she just said straight up, "My children ruined my career. I love them and they complete me, but in terms of pop stardom, totally ruined it." She was kind of saying it in a semi-joking tone, but there was a serious note to it. She said, "It really annoys me when people say you can have it all, because quite frankly, you cannot." She's 38 years old. She shares two daughters with her ex, Sam Cooper. Ethel is 12 and Marnie's 11. Now she's married to Stranger Things star David Harbour. And she added, "Some people choose their career over their children, and that's their prerogative. But my parents were quite absent when I was a kid, and I feel like that really left some nasty scars that I'm not willing to repeat on mine. So I chose stepping back and concentrating on them, and I'm glad that I've done that, because I think they're pretty well-rounded people. Fingers fucking crossed." So I got to ask you, do you feel like having children has impacted your career?
So I first want to say I'm so glad that you read her whole quote, because I think it was taken out of context in a lot of the headlines, and that really upset me. The headline was, "Lily Allen says children ruined her career." And that's not what she was saying. She was saying she chose to be present and not have a million other people and nannies and whoever else raise her children, which I totally respect. And I think if you choose to do that and you choose to be 100% present with your children, your career is going to be affected, especially when you're a front-facing person, like a pop star, or for us, you know, entertainment journalists. Like, I used to be out on red carpets until 8 p.m. Fun fact, when you cover Dancing with the Stars, you often don't get home until 9 o'clock p.m. at night, because you're there for the show taping. You have to wait for all of the couples to then come out and then do the whole entire press line. It's it's a long night. And so I think that when you are a parent and that is your number one priority, it's really hard to have it all. And I totally agree with her. But I also think that when you have children, your priorities shift and that becomes more important. And that becomes the biggest thing in your life. And I think I'm so grateful that I had children later in life because I was able to accomplish so many things when I was younger. I mean, look at us. We both have freaking Emmys. We both have done incredible things. I really wanted to tell people stories and interview celebrities and be on these entertainment shows. And I did it. And now I'm a mom.
Yep.
How do you feel?
You said nail on the head. I mean, I co-sign all of that. I also think it's really great that she said, you cannot have it all, because I think one of the worst things we do to each other as women is set this expectation that we can do it all. Because I will speak from my own experience, when I'm trying to do it all, something always has to give. Mm-hmm. And the guilt I feel when that happens, or when something inevitably gets fucked up, it makes me feel less than. And it's an unrealistic pressure to put on ourselves to think we can do it all, that we can be the perfect mom and we can be fully present, but we can also be slaying at work, working 12, 15 hour days and getting promotions. And, you know, some women make it look really easy, but the women who are making it look easy, I truly believe, are just better at keeping the hard shit to themselves.
And I think they have a lot of help.
Maybe, yeah.
A lot of the time. And we just don't see all the different, you know, I think about Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Massive, massive pop star. She is now a mother. We don't necessarily really see her touring the world like Taylor Swift. Like, we see her on American Idol, which is a much less grueling schedule.
Right.
I often wonder, like, do you wish you were putting out albums every 2 years, touring the world, or are you content? I mean, she's leaving Idol, but are you content doing that? And do you feel like you had to give a little?
Right.
She did the Vegas shows, but that's easy because you're in one place. You're not going from Singapore to Japan to Las Vegas to Los Angeles to New York. It's really sad to say, but I don't think you can 100% have it all.
I don't either. I think there's seasons in life, and some seasons are for the hustle and some are for the home. Some are for whatever you prioritize, and none of it is wrong, by the way. Mm-hmm. Whatever your heart feels called to do, or maybe even financially, you have to put 100% of yourself into work because you have to provide for your family. Whatever it is that is going on, I just think it was really responsible and admirable of Lily to say, you can't have it all. Stop doing that to yourself. Mm-hmm. And wherever you have to put your priority and your time, that is okay. And for me, that was on my family. And I love that she said that. I wish more people were honest like that. I think that we would all be in a much better place.
And how fortunate that she, like you said, she is able to do that if that's what she wanted to do. You know, a lot of people have to put their children in daycare, and there's nothing wrong with that either. If you have to work, you have to work.
If you want to work.
Right. And if you want to work.
If that makes you a more well-rounded, better parent at home to have time in an office with adults, like, girl, like, totally. I get that.
To be the best version of yourself. And I also think companies need to be better to moms and to parents in general. Not that like you deserve special treatment or anything, but in general, I just think
grace.
There's grace that needs to be given.
For sure.
Moving on to OMG of the week. This might surprise you. There was a survey of 2,000 Americans who live with a partner, and the survey found that 4 out of 5 people in relationships admit their partner keeps them up at night, from snoring to scrolling through their phone before bed, getting up to use the bathroom. Do you and Andrew struggle with this at all?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. All right. What's the culprit?
So several things. One, he is a very light snorer. So if he falls asleep before me, it's this like dull sound. So there's that. He also enjoys watching television before bed. And I do too, but I like it on my phone. I just like the sound. The light from the TV keeps me awake. So that keeps me up. And then this is a lot of information, but he and I do not pass gas in front of each other. That is one way we keep the romance alive. But let me tell you, holding it in all day long, we're like a two-man band in our sleep. So I will hear a rip, roar, and toot. And I don't know if it's me or him, but one of us has tooted and it has woken me up. So there's also that. He's going to kill me for sure.
Love that. So honest. Yes. It's funny because so right now I'm so tired at night. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it, I think it's the pregnancy or what, but I'm like exhausted and I literally can fall asleep at 9 PM on the dot every night. And Jason just cannot. So he will lay there scrolling and I'm like, can you at least turn the light down or whatever it is? And he's like, I can't go to bed yet. And this man loves a researching moment. Like he loves, we're doing, you know, some projects in the backyard. We're trying to figure out our vegetable garden. This man is just reading articles and articles and articles and scrolling until like 10 o'clock. And while my eyes are closed, I am not fully asleep because I can just sense the scrolling happening next to me. Like I just feel it. But he's not a snorer, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the option is separate bedrooms. I like to cuddle, so I'll take the snoring and the toots. It's fine.
It is what it is. Love.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Love is love.
Love is love. And speaking of love.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The mama we love this week is Olivia Munn, who last week revealed on Instagram that she has privately battled breast cancer in 2023 and had a double mastectomy. She said she took a genetic test that checks for 90 different cancer genes last February, tested negative for all of them, including BRCA, which is the most well-known breast cancer gene. She said that same winter, she had a totally normal mammogram. And then 2 months later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She said it would have probably been another year that she would have gone by and gotten her yearly mammogram had her doctor not encouraged her to do this assessment of her breast cancer risk. After that, she had a biopsy, had the mastectomy. In the last 10 months, she said she's undergone a total of 4 surgeries and that she's learned a whole lot along the way. And it was really sweet. She shares a 2-year-old son with her partner, John Mulaney. And she just thanked him in this Instagram post for his support and for taking care of their son while she was really struggling. But how brave to come forward and to share her story and to encourage women to be their own advocate. at the doctor. I cannot tell you how many times now I've heard about doctors kind of just glossing over doing the annual checks, but not encouraging more testing or more questions or whatever. So she's brought a lot of light to this assessment, this cancer, breast cancer assessment, your risks. And I think that's so great. And just snaps for carrying the load, being a mom, being sick, sharing her story.
Absolutely. Just like you said, I commend her for being so brave, not only in coming forward, but also using that platform to really encourage other women to check on yourself. That's also why we started Novel Infertility. It's like, you need to check your hormones. You need to be your own biggest advocate. A lot of times the doctors will gloss over it. They won't do it right away. And you can catch certain things now, like with all the technology that's out there. So I'm so grateful that she did that. And that's a good reminder to me as well. Like I am one of the people that really, her story really spoke to. So
totally. And Katie, I thought about you and I and how we have children similar in age to her son and how tired we feel just being pregnant. And so I really put myself in her shoes and thought, being sick, dealing with the fear, you know, so our hearts go out to her and she is a mama we love.
She is. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We so appreciate every single listener out there. Please continue spreading the word, telling your friends. We are here with a new episode every Tuesday and Friday. And as we like to say, motherhood is a sisterhood.